Let's sing now with all your heart. Oh, then to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's great sway.
Rather have Jesus.
Oh, yes, we would.
Than anything.
Thank you, Lord.
This world holds today.
Let's stand and sing that first verse. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand. Yes, we would.
To His dear call,
I'd rather
have Jesus.
Have you, Jesus?
Than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be
Jesus. Hallelujah. Is that your desire? You'd rather have Him than have anything this old world has to offer. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in church tonight? Are you glad you love the Lord? Are you glad He loves you? Give Him a big hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. With all your heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we look at our prayer request. Sister Sue Miller says that her daughter-in-law is having surgery tomorrow to replace 3 vertebrae in her neck. Please pray that all goes well and she'll have a speedy recovery. So we just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. Brother Jerry Glenn says to please pray for my wife, Deanna Glenn. She is homesick, needs healing in her body. Let's pray for that need tonight. Sister Christine Baker is not feeling well. They're asking that we would remember her in prayer tonight. Remember Brother Junior in prayer tonight. His blood pressure is very high, has made him very sick all day. Also pray for the strength of Sister Judy. So let's remember that the Davis family tonight as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of them. I want to pray for Marie Parker Turner from Durham, North Carolina. She is in a very desperate need of prayer in her body. Just the Lord knows all about the needs. We'll just commit them unto the Lord tonight. Ask Him to have His divine will. Brother Randall Gissendener sends this in to please pray for my mother's two sisters, Doris Mosier and Diane Gissendener. They're both in need of a healing touch from the Lord. So we would just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. Brother Byron Palmer says to please remember my mother, Pauline Palmer, in prayer. She had a major dental procedure this morning and has swelling and pain in her jaw. So let's pray for Sister Palmer that the Lord would just be with her. Sister Simone Phillips sends this in, just praising the Lord Jesus for sparing Paul's life. He was tightening a steel load with a chain binder when a chain binder snapped and struck him in the chest. They said it had the blunt trauma force of over 1,000 pounds. The doctor at the hospital told him had it hit him on his left side instead of his right, his heart would have stopped. But he was able to walk out of the hospital with only severe bruising and torn muscles and was able to keep driving. Thanking the Lord that Julia was with him so he didn't have to be alone then and now. Please pray that he heals quickly as he is still in very much pain. Thank you so much. So we praise the Lord for watching out for Brother Paul, don't we? Amen. Sister Jan Winters is sick. With a stomach virus, she desires the prayers of the saints. So we'll remember her in prayer. We'll remember Brother Tracy in prayer. I believe he told us today that he's been able to walk with the aid of a walker. And he's just looking forward to getting his strength back to where he can be in the house of the Lord. That's his desire, is to be back in the house of God. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. Do you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about? How many of you know that we're serving a prayer answering God? You believe it with all your heart? Let's stand tonight. Let's sing that chorus again, if you will. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world affords today. Than to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. Brother Charlie.
Have Jesus.
Bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we are a needy people, Father, and yet we are a chosen people by you, Father. We look to you for all things, Father. We look to overcome the evils of this world and give you glory and honor in these temples of flesh, Father. We lay this request before you, Father, knowing that you are our healer, our provider, our God, our creator, our savior, our King of kings and Lord of lords, and we look to you for all things, Father. We look, O Father, to the promises of your word. Your word says, by your stripes we were healed, Father, and we believe it. I pray, Lord, that all these needs that have been requested will be solved by you, Father. Heal the sick, provide the needs. Help us to overcome the evils of this world, Father. As a living witness of you, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for Calvary, Father. And thank you for your dwelling within us. We give you all the honor and glory, and we believe everything that we have prayed for, Father. Let it all come to pass, Father. For your glory and honor, we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Charlie. God bless you. Somebody say praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around, shake hands with somebody, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. God bless you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Play it, brethren, if you will. Ushers, if you want to come at this time. Thank you. with thee. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold. Be strong.
Be strong.
The Lord thy God is with thee.
He's with you.
Be bold.
Be bold.
Be strong.
Be strong.
The Lord thy God is with thee.
He's with you.
Do not be afraid.
Don't be afraid. Walk in faith and victory. Walk in faith and victory. Walk in faith and victory.
For the Lord,
thy God
is with thee.
Run into the camp. Tell everybody, get ready.
Get ready.
Get ready.
Get ready.
Oh, run into the camp.
Walking in faith and victory. We're walking in faith and victory. Aren't you glad there's a victorious walk to be had? Aren't you glad you love to live in victory? You don't always feel like you're on top of the world, but you've always got victory. Like Brother Donnie says this, and I feel it and see it more in my life too. I don't always feel him like I'd like to, but I know his presence is always with me. I know his presence is among us. I'd rather have that than 10 million worlds, wouldn't you? Give him one more hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart. Walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory.
Strong.
Oh, the Lord thy God is. Amen. God bless you tonight. I'm going to let you be seated. We got a special guest here with us tonight. Going to be singing for us just in a minute. I want to welcome some folks visiting from Ohio tonight. Brother Chuck and Kimberly Hummel. They're here visiting from Ohio. Where would you folks be? Would you just raise your hand? Right back here. Give them a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Glad to have you with us in the service. Your other visitors that we have in the service tonight, if you're a visitor, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the services tonight, may God bless those folks as well. Brother Dwight Hall is here. He's going to give us a song, and he has a free CD, one per family, over in the library. So if you'd like to go over to the library and pick one of those up, they can't get much cheaper than free. So he has one for each family. Brother Dwight, God bless you. Come and give us a song tonight. Give him a nice hand as he comes to sing. Appreciate our brother. God bless you, buddy. Wherever you'd rather. Wherever you'd rather. Here's these monitors. Good. Hey, you want to sing here? That's fine. That's fine.
I would like to say I'm glad to be here. It's been a long time. And I just want to say a word.
Sure.
Okay. I just want to appreciate all of you praying for me. I don't know if you've heard, and Brother Donnie had prayer with me a while ago, and I feel so good. We was one of the flood victims, and it just about took me and Ann out. But we made it. We made it. And I'm going to sing this song. It's I've always been a cowboy at heart, even when I was a little boy. And I never did sing for money except for one time. My mother tried to get me to sing when I was 5 years old, and I didn't want to sing in front of all those people. And this man says, well, I'll give you a nickel. And I said, well, okay. So anyway, this is called Saddle Up, and it's Christian cowboy songs. And I said, well, it's different, but I'm different anyway. So, you know, you got to be what you are. I pray it'll be a blessing to you. If there's not enough, I'll send up more. I wanted it to be my gift to you. And Brother Lee Vail, one time, he was preaching back in the 60s on faith, and I love to hear those faith sermons. And he said, when you're going broke, start giving. And I thought, my goodness. And so right after that happened, I thought, well, I'm just going to start giving. And so this lady across the street from me, this elderly lady, she was trying to get her relatives to give her an air conditioner. And they couldn't seem to come up with one. And our church had done washed away. I said, ma'am, if I can get that air conditioner out of there, it's yours. I beat and banged and beat and banged, and I finally got that thing out of there. It's a wonder it even worked. I said, it's yours. But, you know, God has blessed me so many ways just to be alive, you know, just to be alive. And she looked out the window that morning. She said, oh, no, you know, because she plants flowers and got such a beautiful garden. And I looked out, and it was like an ocean. And I thought, my, well. But anyway, this song is called Saddled Up, and it kind of deals with the years. I've had a lot of heartaches, and like all of you, and started ministering in 1964. And I met Brother Lanuel. I met Lanuel at a tent meeting in 1963. So we've known each other a long time. So I won't take any more of your time, but listen to the words of this song called Saddle Up. Amen.
Looking back on the trail, it's been a lot of years. Sometimes a lot of joy came, sometimes a trail of tears. But It's been worth it all to know Jesus and His love. And one day very soon, I'll join the trail boss up above. Saddle up and ride with me. I got a song I want to sing. It's a song of love and compassion you might need. So saddle up and ride this trail with me. I believe He's with us, don't you? I believe He's riding that trail with us. I love this. On this trail I've been so blessed to write a song. Every now and then I write them to some heart they must belong. They say there's healing in music, and I believe it's so. God wants to make you happy, so saddle up and let us go. Saddle up and ride with me. I got a song I want to sing. It's a song of love and compassion you might need. So saddle up and ride this trail with me. So saddle up and ride this trail with me.
How many of you'd like to hear that one more time? You can't quit on that.
Well, you know, before this one more time, I didn't know all this was going to happen, and I wrote a song called My Sweet Cowgirl. It's like me and my wife, and I told her in this song, I said, go to sleep, little cowgirl, no reason to cry. The rough trail is behind us. Look up to the sky and see the stars twinkle. God made them, my dear. And all through the night, I'll be here. Amen. God bless you. Sing it again, man. Okay. You know, I'm feeling better already. Y'all are blessed. You are blessed. You are special. Looking back on the trail, it's been a lot of years. Sometimes a lot of joy came. Sometimes a trail of tears. It's been worth it all to know Jesus and His love. And one day, very soon, I'll join the trail boss up above. Sing it with me. Saddle up and ride with me. I got a song I want to sing. It's a song of love and compassion you might need. So saddle up and ride this trail with me. I appreciate y'all. Appreciate your pastor too. appreciate you, Pastor.
On this trail I've been so blessed to write a song. Every now and then I write one to some heart they must belong. They say there's healing in music, and I believe it so. God wants to make you happy, so saddle up and let us go. Saddle up and ride with me. I got a song I want to sing. It's a song of love and compassion you might need. So saddle up and ride this trail with me. So saddle up and ride this trail. I love you. I love you.
God bless you. That was so good. God bless you. Amen. Give him another big hand tonight. Praise the Lord. That's a happy song, but it made an old man cry, Brother Dwight. Let's stand tonight. We had another song Jack and Betty was going to sing tonight, and I've stood them up again tonight. But that was too good to just hear one time. We needed to hear that song, because we'll get that song by the Robertses. We'll saddle up and sing that thing, I promise you. Let's sing your chorus now. Are you glad to be in church tonight? You love the Lord with all your heart. Amen. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let's sing this little song tonight, just a little chorus. I pray that it'll rain on your soul here tonight. I pray you'll get saturated by the blessings of the Lord. He's here to bless you. He's here to give you what you have need of. Do you love him tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the flood gates of heaven. Let it rain. Why don't you lift your hands while we sing it? Oh yes, open the flood gates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Jesus, open the flood gates of heaven.
The Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 9. I want to speak to you tonight on dress is a symbol of character. Dress is a symbol of character. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 9. And like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, I want you to listen to verse 9 again. I want you to think about the way that the majority of women dress in this day, at least in America and Europe. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. So what they wear and the way that they reflect themselves will reflect itself on their appearance. So a godly woman is supposed to dress in such a way that she's not flaunting what she is, but with shamefacedness, which most women could not do by what they wear. Because what they wear reflects the very opposite of this scripture. But verse 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now remember, we want to parallel this with not only the natural woman, but with the bride versus the church. So then the bride will not come before God with arrogance or human pride, but the church, for those who believe, oh, everything's fine, I've got eternal security, nothing to worry about, it produces a spiritual arrogance. But the bride walks softly before his presence because she realizes it's grace that's going to get her in. Let's pray the Lord will speak to us again tonight. Just anoint our hearts. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you for your word tonight, Father. We thank you, dear God, for the presence of God that is so prevalent in our lives. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that the Holy Ghost is here in this service with us, and we're just asking you that you'd speak to us tonight once again. You see our needs, our desires. You see the direction, Lord, that I've studied. But I pray that you'd make me sensitive, that I would be able to follow that direction that would be even out the confines of what I've studied, Lord. May something be said in the service tonight that'll be of benefit to your children. We believe it will because it's your truth. Speak to us, we pray tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to read to you what I read last Wednesday night. And I want sisters and brothers as well to listen carefully. Brain scan studies published in National Geographic News February 16, 2009 have revealed that when men are shown pictures of scantily clad women, the region of the brain associated with tool use lights up or is activated. Tool use. For example, areas of the brain that normally activate in anticipation of using tools like hammers, wrenches, screwdrivers, etc. The researchers also found that a part of the brain that usually turned on during social interaction actually deactivated when they saw the pictures. Do girls realize they're making themselves into objects or tools when they dress immodestly? When you cease to dress modestly, you can actually cease to be a person in the eyes of men. Now I want you to think how that, what a deceiver that we have that is anointing this generation like none other. Now, it's been certainly before now, but there has never been a generation that has been so anointed by the devil when it comes to the young ladies and to the women to where that they will do the very opposite of what God wants them to do and the very opposite of what they're trying to accomplish. For many of them, they dress that way to get attention. They dress that way because it's more modern. They think it's sexy or whatever. There no doubt would be an element of women or girls that would dress that way, and they'd absolutely deny that they're trying to be baked or that they're trying to project themselves in a wrong manner. Yet it shows the deceit of the devil. So they're trying to get a boyfriend, but actually they're dressing like they're looking for a hog. Now, if you want somebody that's just to look at you as a sex symbol, then I would advise you to dress that way. But if you want a man that'll love you instead of treating you like a screwdriver, you better look for a man that's got some character. Now don't get quiet already, we just got started. Now let's read this again in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 9, and let's look at the meanings of this words. In like manner also the women adorn, which is cosmeo, to put in order or arrange, make ready, prepare, to ornament, adorn, metaphorically to embellish with honor or to gain honor. Amen. Now notice how a woman then, she will actually gain honor by the way she dresses. So if she gains honor by the proper way of dress, let's just turn it around, will she not lose honor if she dresses improperly? Now, if she's going to gain honor by those who are looking for honor, then she will lose honor in the sight of those if she dresses immodestly. Now, notice Paul says that the women would adorn themselves in modest apparel. Now, it comes from the same root Greek word, but it is kosmios instead of kosmio. It is kosmios. Modest is of good behavior. So a woman then is to adorn themselves in a good behavior apparel. So could we ever call a miniskirt a good behavior apparel?
No.
What about a pair of tight blue jeans?
No.
That a woman can't move without sinning?
Right. Hey,
Brother Ram said this so tight the skin was on the outside.
Hey,
praise the Lord. They can't even move. Not with the way a woman's body is made. Not with her hips, her thighs, the way it slenders down. They are designed exactly to catch the eyes of a man. Don't sit there and look at me like you know what I'm talking about now. And who is it that done it? The original designer in the beginning. Now remember, he never made Eve as far as her shape, her anatomy. He never done any of that. But he designed her thinking. He designed her presentation. It was not God who designed her to be seductive. But Satan, her designer, was the one who empowered her and gave her the ability to come to her husband. And he's still working on her today. That's right. Now, notice then, so in like manner also that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness. Now, whatever they put on is supposed to make them look in a modest way. Not only in their body, but it's supposed to reflect in their character. Now, look at the word apparel. A lowering, letting down, a garment let down, dresses. Now, people that say the Bible don't say a woman ought to dress what they need to lose, look up the meaning of this word, and they'll find the Bible does tell them they ought to wear a dress. A garment let down to dress or an attire. Now, watch this from John Gill, 1600s. With shamefacedness and sobriety, these are the two general rules by which dress is to be regulated. It is right and proper, which is consistent with chastity. When it is not immodest and impudent, more like the attire of a harlot than of a woman professing godliness, when it is moderate as well as modest and suitable to a person's age and station, it is not beyond the circumstance of life in which they are. Now, you know what's amazing? You go to Walmart, drugstore, about anywhere you want to go, and you'll see 50, 60, 70-year-old women dressing like 18-year-old girls. Their face is all made up, their hair is all bobbed off, and they're skinned down in a wiener dress or a pair of blue jeans. And you say, Lord have mercy, they got so much arthritis in their body. I don't know how they even got them on. Much less get them off. But because it's a sexual exploited age, friends. Everywhere you look. Oh, man, some of these men, they look like pumpkins with sticks under them. And they got them short-legged breeches on and say, surely they don't think they're pretty. Surely they don't. I mean, a pumpkin with a set of sticks walking. Watch this from the pulpit commentary. Religion is external as well as internal. There is the form which must be clothed with the power of godliness. Religion must not be secret but manifest to the world. Therefore, women must profess the Christian name and take part in the worship of the church. The highest distinction of women does not spring from dress or decoration, but from the luster that is thrown round their character by works of goodness. Now, you see, the modern day is the exact opposite of that. Because it can take a woman that is not a very pretty woman, and it can make her sexy, and she ain't one lick pretty. Now, the men are nodding their heads, and you women are sitting there looking at me. There is a great difference. A woman can be bait and as sexy as she can be and as ugly as an old hog. Praise the Lord. What's this? Modest adornment. That women adorn themselves in modest apparel as God is the God of beauty.
Nature is clothed with garments like the high priest of old, of glory and beauty. So here we have the true idea carried out in religion. Now watch this, how that women are the height as far as the beauty part of God's creation. Women are to adorn themselves, God's most beautiful work in creation. The human figure, frame, is to be fitly apparelled, for to this day, art knows no higher subject than the human face and form. Now, trees are beautiful, mountains are beautiful, but there's something about them. And does God expect us to go around and be ugly? Does God want the young ladies or the old or the young or whatever? Does he want them to be ugly and take a butcher knife and scrape up their face and, you know, just look like that and smell like a polecat? That's no reflection of a godly woman. A woman can dress decent and feminine and godly and be very pretty and very attractive and yet stay away from the stronghold of Laodicea and not stand before God as a prostitute and a harlot. But somehow women and girls in this day are blinded by the demons of Laodicea to where they think they are not pretty or they're not attractive unless they're ungodly and sexy. Well, y'all going to preach with me? You're going to look at me. Now, I love this part. Modesty is to be the spirit of all adornment, because the nature of the being adorned is a sacred nature. Woman is the true guardian of virtue. Now, I'll tell you, I found this amazing, because as I've looked in these charts and studies and all these different encyclopedias, I know it ain't supposed to be, but I find over and over and over again quotes from our prophet laced right inside of these things. You know why? Because he was telling us the truth. Back in the 50s and the 60s, oh yes, he was right on the mark. Notice now, woman is the true guardian of virtue. Her manner, her temper, her spirit, all these constitute the best defense of virtue. Dress is the symbol of character. If there is absence of shame-heartedness, there will be an absence of shame-facedness. By modest apparel, she can show the innate modesty of her thought and feeling. For say we what like, dress acts like upon the mind and the character. Now notice this, how that these men in the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, Bible Illustrator, 1900s, right on down to our day where we are now, that many of them have seen this. So you watch how that they have seen that there was something. But when you look and realize, Satan is doing it exactly to parallel his church, because his church must be a stripped off bunch of naked Laodiceans. They will be spiritually. It would break the tithe if all the women of the age then were dressed godly and his church was ungodly, because the woman is the prototype, as it were, of what the church will be. But thank God she's not the type of the bride, because the bride is a separate people. Thank God. Now, girls, ladies, listen to this. I'm going to read you some more comments from men and from some of these young men that were taking the survey that I read you last week. Being modest wasn't simply a matter of clothes, but guys define immodesty also as an attitude or a carelessness. Attaining modesty was also about how you use your body and the way you act, sexually or otherwise. An immodest lady is loud, proud, and dresses in a way that communicates such an attitude. Male, age 24. Now listen, a woman can set in the message, have long hair, long dresses, and look exactly the right way, but she'll have an attitude, even with her dress on, that projects that something, and the young boys will pick it up. Let me tell you something, friend. I've hunted bears. I've hunted lions. I've hunted in Africa. I've hunted all kinds of dangerous animals. And the most dangerous animal that I'm scared of is a woman. I'm telling you the truth. There's women in this message I'm scared to death of. And you can't kill them. If it's a bear, I'd shoot it. If it's a hog, I'd kill it. Right, if it's a Cape Buffalo, kill the thing. But they're protected. Ain't a license for them. They're far more dangerous. They kill many more men than all the lions of Africa put together. They kill many more people than all the bears and all the cougars and all that put together. You know it's the truth. Notice this. I'm a male, age 17. Something becomes immodest when the person wearing it has an attitude of carelessness. Age 13. As one guy said, if you are dressing to get attention from a guy, then anything you wear can be immodest. Some examples of behavior that the guys mostly agreed was immodest. Now, this is the survey results that I told you that we wanted to read some of the things that they put up on this. The way a girl walks can be a stumbling block. Now, notice how that they rated this. 50% agree and 24.9% strongly agree. So you got 75% of these men that agree just the way a woman walks can be immodest. Oh, you say, but I have no intention. But if you present yourself that way and that man looks at you and lusts at you because of the presentation, you have committed adultery with him. But I never intended you. You did when you walked that way. Well, praise the Lord. Notice another question that was asked to these young men. Is it a stumbling block for a girl to bend over and her backside aimed towards you? 43% agree, 19% strongly agree. Now, why would women and girls do it? Why do people advertise? Because they have something for sale or giveaway. Praise the Lord. Seeing a girl stretching, arching her back, and reaching her arms back and sticking out her chest, is it a stumbling block? 60% said yes. Seeing a girl's chest bounce when she's walking, 74% said yes. Immodesty then is not simply about being vigilant about your clothing, not to wear a purse that falls diagonally across your body. Don't show your arms or your thighs. It's a constant vigilance about how you display your body. Amen. So a woman, a girl, could have the right type of clothes, but yet the way she presents herself. Why? Because her body. Well, I said I wasn't going to read no quotes, but it didn't say I wasn't going to quote none. But Invisible Union, Brother Ram tells us that is her sacred charge. It is her trust. Now, even though she may have it clothed right on the outside, the attitude on the inside must be synchronized with the clothing on the outside, or it breaks the charge or the trust that she has been given. Oh, my. A technically modest outfit can be a stumbling block when it is attached to sexual association. Notice this, then. A schoolgirl outfit after Britney Spears released a music video where she was dressed in an innocent schoolgirl outfit, yet acting provocatively. 68% of boys said that that was true. So here then is an outfit that seemingly on its own is all right. But because a dancing star, a singing star, a movie star chooses that innocence of sin, that symbol of innocence seemingly, and yet will turn that symbol into a sexy symbol, then a girl and another girl can put it on and have that same identity, and subconsciously the males are identifying her with Britney Spears. Well, praise the Lord. Listen to this from guy number one, they call him. A lot of today's fashions are women are, well, a bit arousing. And to be fair, I'm not saying the woman is trying to be a tease or to actively trying to put a guy in this situation. But women, you have no idea what your God-given body and image does to men. A woman who dresses modestly is not a prude or boring. It means she has class. Praise the Lord. Now, this is from a young boy, a potential young man, a potential boyfriend for some of these girls that are dressing like harlots to try to get him. But in his mind, and remember, these ain't message boys. These are just some sort of denominational Christians. Thank God there's still some boys left that love the Lord. Foolish virgins, no doubt, but they've still got some purity about them. Now watch this. A woman who dresses modestly is not a prude or boring. It means she has class. It means she respects herself and knows what her body can do to a guy. And our sister said,
amen.
Wow. Some of our sisters said amen. Some of our sisters didn't say nothing. Now, think, sisters, what a charge that God has given you. A sacred trust. Look at this guy number two. I really appreciate modesty. It's really annoying to have a barely dressed woman pass by or sit next to me on the bus. Yeah. Now you'd think that a lot of guys that were so-called Christians or whatever, they would like that. So where is it that we get that thought? Don't you see who's doing this deceiving? He wants the women to dress this way thinking when they pass by a guy like this or sit by him on the bus, it's going to get them attention. Actually, it annoys this boy. So the devil has talked Eve's daughter into doing the same thing he talked Eve into, and he deceived them both.
Praise the Lord.
Now notice, this guy pretty well had it down. Yet, should we speak up? We get called controlling or perverts. It's not like we can have an absolute control over our reactions. Can I control myself no matter what a woman's wearing? Yes. Am I comfortable when women are immodest? Absolutely not. Yes, they can wear what they like, but we pay a price for their choices.
Praise the Lord. Well, Brother Donnie, I'm a man and I can watch all that. So you're a homosexual then, I guess. Watch your boys around that dude.
Do you message folks think Brother Branham wore that cross around his rearview mirror for decoration? It wasn't a Ford symbol. It wasn't a Chevy symbol. It was a symbol of the cross that he needed his eyes to go to. Why? Brother Branham was a man, a red-blooded male. And if they'd had cross in the days of Jesus, he'd have wore one because he had problems dealing with this sort of thing just like we do. Brother Donnie, how can you say that? How can I not say it? When God's prophet said he suffered sexual temptation. Amen. Suffered it.
Amen. Right. Amen.
My, my. What's this? Guy number three. I see the intense feeling a guy gets from an immodest woman as a warning that she does not respect him nor care about him. In nature, the most beautiful creatures tend to be the most dangerous. Tree frogs, for instance. Now that's quite a way to compare a sexy woman, ain't it? Beautifully dressed for enticement, and she's compared to a tree frog. Now girls think! Listen, young ladies, listen, women. This is what men that still have character left think about you. Tree frogs, for instance, are very pretty. But very toxic. Translating that to woman means the same in my opinion. Once a man accepts that immodest woman are more likely to support his destruction. Such women don't look very attractive because you can see their spiritual ugliness like a deadly contagious disease. If a man doesn't want to catch, he doesn't look. Praise the Lord. So you mean to tell me Brother Branham was not the originator of this holiness stuff? Brother Branham was not the one who founded it. And it's not just some of us message kooks and quacks that still believe it. No, still sane, solid, sensible gospel people do believe it. Oh my. Guy number four, I think there are many women who really don't know the effect their modesty or lack of modesty have had on men. And they are probably the ones who behave somewhat naively, but with good intent. They don't want to mislead men. They don't know where to draw the line between modest and immodest. In ways that honor men. Or they believe they are already as modest as they need to be. While they're still feeling beautiful or comfortable according to society standards. They may believe they're just flattering themselves. Building up their confidence or using what God gave them. But really they are stealing emotions from men they don't care about. And have no intention to satisfy the responses they stir up. It's a false advertising, a deceit, a lie. I have to get this old boy's address and send him the serpent seed book. He's not too far from the kingdom. A young Christian woman made the following quote about modesty. Women should dress like a flower to be looked at, valued, and appreciated, not like a sandwich to be bitten. I don't think women need to work so hard to follow society's definition of beauty to look or feel attractive. God has a much different idea of beauty and modesty than society has told women. And godly men don't want to see some women choose to reflect that type of beauty. Oh my. I'm so glad there's still some left that still have some principles about them. Now you realize, friends, that as we go on in time, it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and they will strip off naturally because it's the antitype of what's going on spiritually, that the church will be found naked, wretched, blind, miserable, and don't know it. They will be deceived, but at the same time, God is dressing us. It's no thing that it happened just on a happenstance that God sent a prophet this day in 1962. He said, I pray and hope that God will crown my ministry with this, that he'll let me take the cloth of the word and dress the bride in. And the bride ain't going to get married in no miniskirt. The bride ain't going to get married in no pair of breeches. But the bride is going to get married. She's already got married in a wedding gown. And her wedding garments, brother, is flowing down through. Hallelujah to God. It will be a true representation of what heaven already wears. When Brother Barron was carried beyond the curtain of time, he never saw one woman in breeches. He never saw one woman with bobbed hair. He never saw one woman with painted lips. He never saw one man or one woman dressed ungodly or indecent. And how can we ever dress that way and get there? Not too long ago, women pretty much always wore a dress or a skirt. But with the feminist movement, women were convinced that they were oppressed and not equals to men, so they started wearing pants. And cutting their hair short, among other things. Now notice, this is not a quote from the Message. And today a lot of women do reject femininity. The culture has told them that it's wrong to be feminine. So you see a lot more females acting and dressing like males. That's not empowering women, that's enslaving them. And what's amazing is some of these women that's left the Message and went back to get their britches and all that sort of thing, and they feel so free. And here's denominational people and Catholics and Baptists and all these different ones telling them that it is a power that's enslaving them. And they think they're free. You try to tell them they're not. You won't be able to do it. Why? They're convinced and they're deceived. Do they feel better? No question in my mind. They'll go to some shouting Pentecostal church or some charismatic church. You think they're going to preach this sort of thing? Absolutely not. They'll feel more free. But that so-called freedom will lead them to a wrong path. Now watch this. Culture has told them it's wrong to be feminine, so you see a lot more women. The females acting and dressing like males, that's not empowering women, that's enslaving them. Forcing them into a role that they weren't created to fill. Praise the Lord. A woman was not made to be a congresswoman. She wasn't made to be a senator. I know if Hillary has her way, she'll be the first woman president. She wasn't made to be a president. She's made to stay home and cook Bill a pie. Praise the Lord. Amen. God never made women to be blow the whistle, drive big U trucks going down the road. That is not feminist. Praise the Lord. They were not made to do that. Don't you see what it is? It is Sodom. Satan knows, make the women more masculine, it'll turn the men more towards sodomites. Why? Because that's what happened at the first antediluvian destruction. Brother Rem said the women become so terrible that men turn toward men. Oh my. Men were meant to be masculine. Women were meant to be feminine. A feminine woman is more appealing than a masculine woman. And a masculine man is more appealing than a feminine man. Good thing there ain't a license on them. Good thing there ain't a season. Praise the Lord. Don't you see who's doing it, church? Don't you see what's coming? All of it's heading towards Sodom. I'm sure you heard it this week where the governor of California just signed the law where the kids can decide which bathroom they want to go into now. If they're a girl in a boy's body or vice versa, and they can choose whichever bathroom they want to go. Can't you see why? Well, is it any wonder that an earthquake will come from the west side? Soon cometh the earthquake to take them all away. There's nothing we can do to stop it. If we had a prophet in every town, every parish, if there was Abraham Lincoln in every city, it's gone too far. The cycle's gone too far, but we don't have to go that way. We're not trying to stop them, but we don't want to be partakers of their sins. Watch this. Modest skirts and dresses are more feminine, so they naturally are going to be more attractive. Some fear that being feminine or modest is unattractive, but that's a lie. You do not have to be a modest. Now remember, this is still from the surveys and all that on, that I found. Something that is immodest is something that is designed to arouse lust within me. Now listen from this young man. Attractiveness is a far more mysterious quality. A mixture of spirituality, personality, and physical beauty. But for a woman who just puts on clothes to attract to her body, and the mind looks at her, a man looks at her, and he may lust after her beauty, but the part of social communication in his brain is switched off when he sees her. So he looks at her like a rubber hammer or a screwdriver or a mallet or a grubbing hoe or a mattock or something. What do you want to do? You want to use it. And then what do you do when you get done with it? You throw it down. And what do you do when it tears up? You get rid of it and give you another one. Is it any wonder that divorce is as rampant as it is? Is it any wonder fewer and fewer people are getting married in the United States? I just read it this week. Fewer and fewer people want to get married. They want to just shack up. Why? A man's looking at a woman as a screwdriver and a tool instead of looking at something he can spend the rest of his life with. I'm afraid some of the folks in the message are doing the same thing. They're marrying screwdrivers. Will you take the screwdriver to be your lawful wedded wife? Will you love her till she gets old? Will you love her till her teeth falls out? I refuse to do that, sir. If it does fall out, I'll get me another screwdriver. I know a lot of girls, isn't this young man, that dress immodestly to attract guys. And as I said at the beginning of this part, it works. However, it's not the kind of attraction that any girl would want to receive. First of all, a girl shouldn't waste one thought or action on how to attract a boy. My Lord. Boy, girls sure wouldn't want to hear that, would they? Girls and guys shouldn't spend any time thinking about how to attract the opposite gender. We should focus instead on living for Christ and growing into the men and women He wants us to be. If we do that, people will be attracted to us, not because we have done anything to manipulate them, but simply because a person living for Christ is someone other people want to be around. Oh, hallelujah. I think we need to do more of this in the message, brother, sister. Amen. My, I found this put together by some young boys. It says, "Dear girls, dressing immodestly is like rolling around in manure. Yes, you will get attention, but mostly from pigs." Second, when a girl attracts a guy because of immodesty, she is attracting him with her body only. Can't you see, friends, why? If folks fall in love, supposedly, and a man falls in love with a woman's body, and then she gets in a terrible car wreck 3 months after they're married, and she lives, but she's terribly disfigured. She marries a man because he's handsome and got, you know, this black hair and this and that and the other. Not looking down the road and saying in about 30 years he's going to be as slick as a pumpkin on top. He's going to be level too. Bubble in the middle. So if they marry for that only, they have nothing to keep them. They have no foundation. Don't you understand? It's the same way with the church. Well, if people come to Christ, "Oh, I'll be rich. I'll get this, that, the other." Though, brother, whoever's telling you that's lying to you. Serving the Lord Jesus is nothing any greater, but it has its difficulties and its problems. But you don't come because of the blessing. You don't come just because you're bubble dancing. You don't come just because you get to shout. You come because you love Him more than anything left in this world. And you love Him when you're up. You love Him when you're down. You love Him when He blesses you. You love Him when things are going wrong. You just love Him, that's all. Look, friends, she is attracting him with her body only. The feelings she is stirring up in him are lust and desire, not admiration. Nothing that even resembles love. Guys who are attracted in that way are attracted because they see an object they can use for selfish pleasure. Mama. However, there are good God-fearing guys out there who are striving to live for Christ. They want to respect women and treat them as equals and sisters. But in our culture, it can be a struggle to treat them the way they deserve because they insist on dehumanizing themselves. Immodesty invites guys to treat girls poorly. You get time sometime, you ought to read the book, Men on Rape, and find out what it is about this sort of thing that actually incites murder. Immodesty is extremely unappealing to such God-fearing guys. That doesn't mean they don't or can't fall to the fleshly weakness. Lust is a weakness for guys. I don't like girls trying to prey on my weakness. Now look, this is still from these young men. And look at their side of it. Look at their side. And they feel like they're being preyed upon by the girls and the women of this day that are dressing in such a way and trying to take advantage of these men. Y'all are getting quieter and quieter. And I'm going to preach on and on. Watch this. When girls dress immodestly, I feel like they're trying to take advantage of me because of my weakness. I feel like they're trying to manipulate me. I don't like that. Who does? Who likes people trying to take advantage and manipulate them? I don't know how many girls consciously realize what they're doing. But whether they realize it or not, that's what they're doing. They are attempting to manipulate and trip up men. When they are immodest. Now I really found it amazing when I studied all this. Because what I done is went down to the bottom of these websites and these surveys. And I found so many Christian girls. Not message girls. Christian girls. And they were sending in things like this. "I'm so ashamed. I have cleaned out my closet. I never realized what this did to men. I am so sorry. And I asked my brothers in Christ, please forgive me. And I thought, dear God, have mercy. And we've got people like that out here doing that. And people in our ranks going and getting what they're throwing away. They've done been there and seen what it produces. And you want to go to that hog trough? You want to go to that hog trough and wallow in that when they're realizing and leaving it? Makes no sense to me, friends. Look at this guy C. Makes this great point about immodesty. It's a testimony to insecurity when women dress immodestly. A woman who knows she's beautiful doesn't have to walk down the street half naked to be noticed. Now, one thing I like about reading is this. If I read where these guys say it, y'all don't seem to get near as mad if I say it myself. I really like what girl E had to say about the whole issue. The thing about immodesty being the norm is that it shouldn't be. Praise the Lord. It shouldn't be. Sure it is, and maybe some people tune it out, but I for one don't. It makes me, even as a girl, feel uncomfortable. Praise the Lord. Yeah, lots of guys are going to think bad thoughts anyway, no matter how girls dress. But there's no reason to throw basic standards to the wind. Amen, sis. Also sincerely agree with the sentiments of this girl, girl F. I think it's very important to dress modestly. Not only does it please God, amen, but it makes it easier for the guys. You can be very cute and fashionable and also dress modestly. You can wear colorful and fashionable skirts, shirts and skirts. They are very pretty and feminine. Glory. I think people these days are so careless in how they dress. It's actually disgusting. When I walk past billboards with girls in bikinis showing off their body, it just sickens me. Now, this is a denominational, some type of denominational Christian. And some of you have wondered about the foolish virgin. No doubt I'm reading some of them tonight. Mm-hmm. They were virgins. They were virgins. They had a sense of holiness, a life about them, that they sensed some right and wrong. Where does that put some of the poor message people been praying? Mama. Notice this. It makes me feel happy to see girls wearing skirts or modest clothes. It's hard to find. To me, they're much more beautiful when they're modest than when they're exposing themselves. Immodesty really is a sad thing for everyone involved. A lot of girls do it to attract guys, which is totally wrong. Girls shouldn't be trying to attract guys. Plus, the guys they do attract through immodesty are not the guys they want to attract. Because those guys are not interested in those girls as people, but as objects for their own personal enjoyment. What man in his right mind would want to marry a rubber hammer? Praise the Lord. Notice this, girls think they're being loved, but they're really being used. Don't you understand? Satan is doing the people in the natural the same way he's doing the church in the spiritual. They think they're going to heaven. They think they're right on the path. They're right going on. And Satan is using them. He uses every denomination. He'll use every denominational preacher that allows him. He'll use preachers in this message if they'll give their gift to him. They'll give their mouth to him. They'll give their place to him. He'll use him. He'll use whoever he can use. And they think they're doing good. And they're going right on. And he's using them to accomplish something which is the very opposite of what God's word says. And a woman or a girl looking for a boyfriend, and she strips her clothes off and she'll sneak around and do something contrary to what mom and daddy said. And she thinks she's doing the right thing. She's not doing the right thing. This is from people who've been there and done that. My. Then you have men who really and truly are trying to live for Christ. Yet women are placing so many obstacles in their way. It's frustrating, even infuriating. Sometimes there can even be a temptation to hate or resent the girls who dress that way which is as wrong as giving into the temptation of lust. So loving these girls and women the way Christ would have us love them becomes extremely difficult as well. Now you think this is the opposite of what they're thinking in their mind. They're thinking they're appealing, but to whom? Not men of character. So if you marry a man or a boy based upon lust, then when you lose your lustiness, he will look for another. Somebody at work, somebody at McDonald's. Why? Because this is the foundation of it. And then people wonder why they have problems in their marriage. It's not on the right foundation. Hey friends, and we are living in a selfish age. Folks are out for number one. Forget loving relationships. Forget building on this. Forget sacrifice for the majority of the world. They're going to live for themselves. They're going to get what they want, enjoy what they want, do what they want. Come on, you know it's the truth. And they are not going to hang around anymore. Not like they done years ago. People would hang around and they'd endure it. Not anymore. They're going to do what they want to do. My Lord, help us. You're battling your fleshly weakness on one hand, and you're battling not to resent the people who are trying to manipulate you and cause you to stumble on the other. Terrible situations to be in, I can assure you. But again, if a man does fall prey to immodesty and sins, he can blame no one but himself. He's responsible for his sin. However, when a man sins as a result of a woman's immodesty, the woman has also sinned. A lot of guys in this survey talked about temptation. In some cases, the men would use very powerful words, such as this guy defining immodest. Immodest screams that her body is different than mine, attempts to manipulate me, forcefully offers to trade what I in the flesh want for what she wants, attention. A male age 30. This language suggesting that women's bodies scream at him, attempt to control him, and forcefully tempt him. Reminiscent of Tim Benke's interviews with men about sexual violence and men on rape. He discusses how lots of the terms used to describe a beautiful, sexy woman are metaphors for danger and violence. Look at these words. Ravishing, stunning, bombshell, knockout, dressed to kill, femme fatale. Look! Look how when women present themselves and they think it's for sex only, but according to the man, he will relate that to violence as well. And you become a bait. And what is bait used for? To catch something in a trap. Women's beauty can be perceived as violence to men. How many boys and girls, men and women, then they get into violent relationships where the boyfriend will start verbally abusing and then physically abusing, and yet he's so attracted to her, he don't want to give her up. He's attracted to her sexually, but it's doing something on the inside of him. Don't you see what it is? That sexual part, without being born again, it's tying to the beast. It's tying to that beast that's on the inside of a converted man, unconverted man. Oh my! But a real son of God, my sisters, is what you want. You don't want a wife, Peter. You don't want one that thinks you're so beautiful, but on the inside of him is like a ravaging beast. You want a son of God that'll love you, one that'll encourage you, one that'll be there to help you. Women's bodies incite men's sexual desires, sometimes to violence. They must be kept hidden. These Christian guys, however, did claim responsibility for their own thoughts, feelings, and actions. When asked about their role in avoiding lust, many were adamant that it was their responsibility. Many felt innocent, that innocent, shameless, platonic interaction between men and women was a team effort. Sisters in Christ, you really have no concept of the struggles that guys face on a daily basis. I cried when I read this. To me, it was so pitiful. Please, 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 Take a higher standard in the ways you dress. Please from young men that you would think would want to see that. But again, Satan has tricked the women into believing this. Eve's interpreter is doing his job. Please, please, please take a higher standard in the ways you dress. True, we men are responsible for our thoughts and actions before the Lord, but it is such a blessing when we know we can spend time with our sisters in Christ, enjoying their fellowship without having to constantly be on guard against ungodly thoughts brought about by the inappropriate ways they sometimes dress. Now, can you imagine these Christian guys asking the sisters to please dress in such a way so they can have fellowship together and talk together about the good things of God and not be bothered because you got one or two or three or four that's dressed ungodly? We see why suggestions regarding the length of hemlines and the depth of necklines are important, because we live in a sexual world where even the youngest of girls are sexualized to an extreme degree, and they are told their sexiness will bring them popularity, love, and happiness. Amen. Studies show girls as young as six years old are sexualizing themselves because media messages show them being sexy yields a reward. A July 2012 study in Sex Roles revealed the latest. As it was written before, even girls' toys and cartoon characters are sexualized to the extreme these days. Where's it all coming from? The pits of hell. Lord Jesus. But when we fixate on the inches showing, we're missing the point. When we judge girls and women for the skin they are or are not showing, we are minimizing them to their bodies and repeating the same lies that females are only bodies in need of judgment and fixing. Or even perpetuating the shame-inducing belief that female bodies are sinful and impure and must be covered to protect boys and men who can't be held responsible for their thoughts. Can I go a few minutes longer? Amen. From a Catholic article. Immodest, particularly in a woman because of her nature as the temptress of man, involves an offense against God and a lack of respect for ourselves and our neighbor. Not to disapprove of trousers for women is to shrug aside the seriousness of the situation. We can deduce two things from this enduring and universal phenomenon. A moral consensus based on feelings of shamefacedness existed to modern times among all women, and their desire to conceal rather than reveal was not a social construct, but a natural reaction. Trousers as an outer garment are not and never have been feminine apparel. And by putting them on women with a different designer label does not make them any less men's clothing. The evidence quite escapes those who deny the significance for our time of God's edict given to Moses. A woman shall not be clothed with a man's apparel. Neither shall a man use a woman's apparel. For he that doeth these things is abominable before God. The mere mention of such an edict is enough to make some people hiss. Old Testament fundamentalist. Wow, a Catholic being a fundamentalist. But it was the basis on which the church formed her teaching that women must dress in a distinctively feminine manner and be modest in heart as well as apparel. The conclusion, the key to the whole issue is for women to dress in a feminine manner so as to communicate the language of submission and acceptance of womanhood rather than the language of rebellion and rejection to God's design. As Christian women, we have a biblical obligation to dress modestly and reflect holiness. And so should we dress in a feminine manner to show that we accept the place that God has given us in the church. in the family, oh my, and in society. God's message about modesty may seem embarrassingly old-fashioned in our culture, but God's word does not change. Praise the Lord. There are no general circumstances either in the past or present which mitigate or set aside this teaching. While it is acceptable to have feminized forms of coats, hats, and shoes, trousers are in a category of their own because of the area of the body on which they are worn and their inherent suggestiveness. It's amazing to me that a Catholic could see this and some of the blind preachers around this message ain't got enough guts to even say it. Has the trouser culture really elevated our uniqueness as women? Has it contributed to an increase in chivalry for men? On the contrary, the fashion has become counterproductive for women. Their dignity has been lowered both in the eyes of society and their own children. As fashions have become bolder, their innate sensitivity to immodesty has been blunted by sensual overload. Friend, this is why the majority of the world don't know nothing about it. Can you imagine what they see in advertisements on billboards and television? And they fill their mind with this is all they know. But they, as soon as they got big enough as a little girl, they put them in breeches. And that's all they've known all of their life. And they look at one of you every now and then, pass on a sense and wow, wow, a woman in a dress must be from another planet, from another world for sure. Why? Because it seems so weird to them. But it wasn't always that way. 5,950 years, men wore the breeches until this last generation. Their minds have been ideologically corrupted by feminist thinking. So that they have generally rejected God's design for the family. There is widespread confusion in society about what constitutes femininity and masculinity. Don't you see what the clothing is trying to do? Neither gender. Neither gender. The defeminizing effect of trousers on the younger generation is unedifying. Young girls of today have, for the most part, worn trousers most of their life. You message folks realize, depending on how long you leave among them girls of yours, you can extend more hardships and battles for them. And some of you letting your boys, it's nearly me and worm, shame on you. Let some of these boys around here, and they're nearly adults, still wearing short-legged breeches. Where in the world's you're thinking? Now watch, young girls of today for the most part have worn trousers most of their life. As a result, they tend to behave like boys. Is it little wonder that they feel uncomfortable in dresses? And that they've lost the instinct for modesty? Our age has witnessed a general coarsening of conversation and manners among young girls at a time of their life when they should be learning standards of modesty and deportment. But they feel more like men. They act more like men. From some of our young people in our church, I have heard that some of the girls that they deal with in public school are more sexually suggestive, even more offering of their own bodies than boys are. Their minds is bombarded with music. It's bombarded with country music, which ain't nothing but one love affair after another. I guess the rock and roll is the same way, but I don't understand it. I guess if you could understand that, it's saying the same thing. I'm not sure. I'd be a basket case in about 5 minutes listening to that stuff. At least I can't understand it. That's one good thing. The movies they watch. Whose images they look up to? Sarah? Rebecca? Hannah Montana? Barbie? Come on now, don't get quiet on me. Do you realize those who have monitored and watched it say now that the media and television are now aiming at the younger girls and pushing them in a more sexy manner than they are even the 18 to 25 year olds? why Satan wants to get them even sooner than he got them in the last generation. Why, friends, it's all moving and the parents sit right there and let it happen in front of their noses. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. Dress, a symbol of character. As I said to you Wednesday night a week ago, I guess it was. I can't imagine how the prostitutes and the harlots, what the hell they have to try to dress, outdress the average woman going to Kroger. I mean, they'd really have to dress something special, I suppose. Since the average woman and women going to church dress as bad as any local whore. You say that's plain talk. It is, and I figure y'all can understand it very plain too. And if you ain't telling your kids, shame on you. Maybe you parents need to go through some of your closets and look and see what they're sneaking out and wearing to school and wearing to church. What's a shame is some of you older women that's married coming to church dressed like a slut. Shame on you. You shouldn't say that. I should say it. I'm a shepherd, and every now and then I gotta break legs. I not only heal people, but I break legs when I have to. I'm responsible. I realize that, you know, as we go on in time, fewer and fewer preachers are going to say it. Why? Because people don't want to hear it anymore. They'll move. I'll leave. Suit yourself. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to tell you the truth. Throw me out if you want to. Vote me out. That's up to you. I want to have a church that the Lord Jesus can come in among us and feel so welcome and so comfortable. But not only that, I want to have a church where men can come in and sit down and not be bothered and have to look this way and look that way and that way, because a woman over here and a woman over there and one over there and one over there is dressed ungodly and indecent. We shouldn't have to come to church and be bombarded with such stuff. Sure, I can understand women and girls that come in here that don't understand, but for some of you that's heard this all of your life, you know what it is? It's open rebellion. You're known to the devil. It's rebellion against God's word. Sis, get the thing off of you. It'll take you to hell. You don't fit in the bride looking like that. You fit in the church. Tribulation bound. Oh my. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice and make merry. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. And His wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted fine linen, clean and white. And the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Not the righteousness of God. But the righteousness of saints, which is right doing, doing the right things under the auspices of His love. Praise the Lord. It's not now just what we accept, but it's what after we accept it, it's what we do with it. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd help each of us, men, women, boys, girls. Lord, we desire to have the right attitude, the right dress, the right behavior. I know, Lord, the women, the girls may think it's unfair because there's so much preaching done in the women's clothes, but if they'll read their Bible, they'll find out there's more scriptures that mentions the women than it does the men. That ought to tell us something. Historically and prophetically, it should tell us the same thing. Satan always has and always will use the woman when it comes to dress to be more in a seductive way than the man. So given to them is a great charge. You do not expect them, Lord, to be ugly. Brother Bam tells us it's a thirst in a woman to be pretty.
And he said, she should be. There's nothing wrong with a woman dressing nice and clean, and but feminine and dainty. And as this young man said, with class. And then when a man would see that, he would look and want to know that girl. Not because of her body. With many of the women, the way they dress in this day, they're like Jehoshaphat. They've showed the enemy all their treasures. There's nothing left to imagination. Oh God, may our sisters realize it is a lie of the devil to try to convince them that they are not feminine and that they are not appealing when they dress in a more modest and feminine way. It's making more sense to me, Lord, as I preach each of these services on this, why you wanted me to study and look beyond just the quotes and the message per se, that you want me to get different perspectives. I thank you for that, Father. I appreciate it. Because it helps us to see, Lord, what boys out here and Christians don't even know anything about this truth, what they're saying. And then any girl, any woman that hear this, and I've already heard many things from people just different places around the world, the services that we brought on it thus far, I pray it'll be a help to our sisters, Lord. Not only the married, but the unmarried, all of them, Lord God, to realize they have a sacred charge, the trust, their body. They will overcome more than the men will, because Satan had more to use on them. Lord, how wonderful it'll be when we all gather that day and these daughters of God, the ones from this assembly and others around the earth, the world, that have lived godly lives, and they'll be able to stand before you. They'll gather around your throne, Lord Jesus. You reach out your hands to them and say, my precious daughters, my darling daughters, you lived for me. You bore the reproach of your hair. You bore the reproach of your dress, your clothing. Now enter into the joys of the Lord. Your reproach for 20 years, 30 years as a Christian will be nothing compared to the glory I'll give you now. Praise God. Lord, may there not be any of our sisters that'll be missing. Help them, Lord, not to get mad at me. If it does get on their toes a little bit, help them to look at it in reality. Lord Jesus, we love you. Help my brothers. Help my brothers not to hide behind the excuse of lust. Well, I can't help it. The women just dress, but may they realize they are responsible themselves. We can't help the way the women dress, but we can help where we look and how long our eyes stay and what thoughts go into our mind. We know the prophet gave us a little simple illustration. The farmer said he couldn't stop the birds from flying over, but he could sure stop them from building a nest. So help us as sons of God. Help us, Lord. May we encourage the sisters, Father, to dress in the right way. May the fathers try to encourage their daughters. The mothers try to encourage them. May the single brothers here, the Christian brothers, may they share these sentiments with the sisters, that they have a godliness, an aura about them that a girl dressed like the streetwalker does not have. Or she might be able to turn heads and people might whistle at her and all that sort of thing. But are they looking at her as a woman or as a tool? And they get what they want, they throw in a gutter and look for another. Help us, Lord Jesus. Then, Lord God, we look at the bride around the world and realize she must be dressed. The world is undressing. Laodicea is undressed. But the bride must be dressed. And as you told the one church age, come and walk with me in white, for you are worthy. May we be found worthy, Lord, as you told us in Luke 21:36. Pray therefore always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. The earth is rumbling, shaking. Soon cometh the earthquake and will take them all away. 1/10 of the earth fixing to fall in. A chunk 300 to 400 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, will break off out there, go plumb down to the Salton Sea. and the tidal waves will shoot plumb back to Kentucky. Hide us, O Rock of Ages. Lord, help us not to get our eyes on a president and on this, that, and the other. Lord, we know what Brother Bram told us about a woman president of the Catholic Church, but he never said the bride would even be here to see it. That might be during the tribulation period. Help us not get our eyes on the presidency. Help us not to get our eyes on the natural thing, but keep our eyes on the cross. Keep our eyes on the readiness of your coming, Lord, and our being ready to meet you. Grant it, Lord. Can we just raise our hands together, saints? Praise be to God. Would you just lay your hand over on one another and just offer a word of prayer? And more likely, unless it be your husband or your wife or a child or a real close friend, you probably don't know their needs or know what they would have need of in their life, but the Lord does. They may need touch in their body, strength in their walk. Maybe they're discouraged about something in their finances. Eagle to eagle, believer to believer. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Oh, sweet Jesus. Come take us away, Lord. We're living down here in this dirty, filthy world, and we're walking around in our beautiful wedding gown. And yet, as I read to the church this week where James said we must keep ourselves unspotted from the world, it's hard to do, Lord. Everywhere we go, it's filthy and dirty and nasty. Lord God, thank you for the washing of the water of the Word, that if we do get spots, Lord, while we're in this world, we can have them removed before that great rapture morning, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Help us to keep ourselves unspotted. I pray for the young sisters. I prayed for the married, Lord. I pray for our ladies. I pray for our sisters around the world in the message. Help them, Father. Help them to realize you're not being hard. You're not being difficult on them. The Word is not unfair against their sex. But, Lord, you give it to them as a warning to help them, Lord, that they won't stand and answer for adultery at that day. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Help us men. Help the young boys, Father. Help each of us, Lord God, that we can live lives that are worthy of the gospel. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I pray for this prayer call for Brother Junior Davis. Lord, you see his blood pressure has been really high. I ask you, dear God, in the name of Jesus, you'd move for our brother. Lord, let that blood pressure come down, I pray. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, come, sweet Jesus. Come, take me away. Oh, God, I really don't belong here, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I want to see your face. Come, sweet Jesus. Yes, Lord God. Sing it for us, Harry. Oh, let's worship him a little before we go. I know you got school tomorrow and all that. It would be right for us not to worship him a little before we go. Hallelujah.
Jesus, come today.
Everybody now, let's worship him together.
Oh, come, sweet Jesus. Come, take me away. I really
don't belong here
now. I want to see.
I love to see your face.
Nobody feels that way in your heart tonight. You want to be ready every day, every hour. I don't belong here, Lord, at Laodicea now, Lord God. I long to see your face. Come,
sweet Jesus.
Come, take your bride away, Lord. Come, take her away, Lord Jesus. It's an unfit place, Lord. I mean, he loves him with all your heart. You appreciate his truth. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Brother Darrell, would you come and close in prayer, brother? God bless you. See you this weekend, Lord.
Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to take this moment in time to thank you, Lord, that you're so mindful of us, dear God. For you said in your word, Lord, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Lord, these things we've heard tonight, Lord, is not to place us into bondage, but it's to set them free, Lord, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, we thank you tonight for a man of God, Lord, who would yield himself to speak these things, Lord, that we may be a witness of your truth, dear God. And Lord, may it not just be something that we hear, we go home and forget about it, Lord, but may we meditate upon these things, Lord. Father, help us, Father, help me, Lord. As a father, Lord, with girls, oh God, to help them, Lord, to see these things are true, dear God. Bless each home, each family. Lord, you see the needs that are among us, those that would be sick, dear God, or facing great difficulties. I ask you, dear God, may your spirit just touch them, Lord, and help them, God. As we depart from the service tonight, Lord, may you just go with each one. Protect us on the highways, Lord, and the byways. Bless the service this weekend, Lord. Bless the little bride around the world. May we be vessels yielded to you, Lord, that we may bring forth the gospel light, Lord, and the darkness of this end time, dear God. For Lord, we know it's getting darker. But Lord, we heard your prophet say the other day that Jesus always comes in the darkest hour. And Lord, then we see, dear God, as this age continues to get darker and darker, it's only a sign, Lord. If you follow the pattern of the words, you must soon come, dear God, for you always come in the darkest hour. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord, once again for these great things that we heard. We just love you, Lord. We just appreciate you, dear God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Amen. Sing it again, brother.
Come, sweet Jesus. Come take me away. I really don't belong here now. I want to see your face. Come, sweet Jesus. Come take me away. I read.
Lord.